Over the past several weeks, we've had some very special days of worship. 3 weeks ago, we had our confirmation service in which we celebrated the profession of faith of our sixth graders as they stood here in front of all of you and made promises to serve Jesus as their Lord and Savior for their whole life. A very special day. Last week, we celebrated our graduating high school seniors. We prayed for them and blessed them and sent them out into the world to continue to be the people that God has called them to be. These have been some really special days. And of course, today, a day in which we reflect upon and celebrate the women in our life who are our mothers, those who have been like mothers to us, those special persons who we celebrate today. So it's been a wonderful few weeks of worship. Alongside those, we've been doing a little study on the book of Proverbs, because each of these moments of celebration lean into the hope of divine wisdom, that our sixth graders lean in to the wisdom of God to make decisions in their life, that our high school graduates, as they go off to college, Lord, keep them in divine wisdom as they continue to grow. And so when we began to think through, well, then how should we wrap up this little series on the Proverbs? Well, it kind of made sense to me that we would just go to the end of the book. Go to the very end of the book of Proverbs to see what last bit of wisdom there is to share. And many of you probably have heard that the final chapter of the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 31, concludes with this poem, this ode to a mother and a wife. And so I want to read a section of that book, that section of Proverbs 31 for us to reflect on tonight, this morning rather. Hear this word of the Lord as it comes to us through his servant Solomon. Her children rise up and call her happy. Her husband too, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, I want to be very just upfront this morning, because I know that preaching on Proverbs 31, even though it's a very familiar and often used text for Mother's Day, is really dangerous for a man to preach. So I know everyone looks forward to hearing a man tell you how to be a good woman, right? Men, be careful. And so I approach this text with a little bit of trepidation. However, I want to say two things. First, it's a communion Sunday, so the sermon is necessarily short. So hopefully I won't get into too much trouble in a short sermon. Don't clap, Henry. But second, I have seen some wonderful women, mothers and others in my life, who live out a vision of what Proverbs 31 speaks about. And a vision that is not just, I think, instructive for women, but for all of us who desire to lead lives in the wisdom of God. So I just want to point out a few things from Proverbs 31. Now, I only read a section of it, but it's an entire passage starting in the 10th verse of the 31st chapter. And that whole poem begins with kind of a rhetorical question. And the rhetorical question is often translated, a capable wife, who can find? And I thought it was an interesting way to begin this reflection on wisdom and womanhood, because that word capable is an interesting translation. Now, if you have your Bible, you can mark that to try to figure out exactly what this might mean. But the word capable here is actually a translation that I think is not exactly my favorite translation. Capable. It's the Hebrew word chayil. Chayil. And that word is actually a word that denotes strength and valor. And any time the word is used in any other context, it's often used to describe the soldiers of the Lord's army or the soldiers of Israel, that they are chayil, they are strong and valorous, they are brave and courageous. And I don't know why the translators in their wisdom in most of our translations chose capable, but I think, based on the women that I know in my life, that better translation is courageous. Because being a woman, being a mother in this world is a courageous act. To bring life into the world, to keep them alive, to face all of the challenges, all of the struggles, it's not just about capability. It's about courage. I've known many courageous women in my life. And when you think then that this poem is describing not someone who's just good at a job, but who is courageous in their life, I think it begins to open up a vision that all of us should aspire to lead and live. One of the other neat little things about this poem is that it is an ancient Hebrew acrostic poem, which means that every verse from verse 10 to the end starts with a different Hebrew letter. And it's in order of the Hebrew alphabet. This took some time to write. Every verse, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, literally A, B, C, D, E. It's the ABCs of living a life of wisdom. And when you look at all of this description, you see a really courageous person, a woman that you would want to emulate. She's described as being in charge of managing her household. She gets up early to prepare tasks. She deals in real estate. I love this passage. Snow does not frighten her. I love that. Now, I have no idea why snow was frightening in the ancient world, but as Mississippians, we know what it's like to have to drive in an ice storm, right? Doesn't bother her. She's prepared clothing for stormy weather. Her husband is known and respected as a member of the community, probably because she does all the work, right? She has a well-tuned sense of humor. She speaks words of wisdom. The description of this woman is not a mild-mannered trophy wife at all, is it? This is a courageous woman, a woman who is active, a woman who accomplishes what she sets her mind to. Then note some of the other characteristics in this chapter. Her value cannot be measured. She's industrious, working into the night. She is concerned for the poor and the needy. She is a godly woman, deserving of the praise that is given to her. And then it is all summed up in kind of the final blessing where it says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord deserves to be praised. You know, Hebrew poetry often kind of bookends its poem to drive home its point. This poem begins with this kind of rhetorical question, right? About a courageous wife. How do we find a courageous wife? Then the end of the poem gives the answer. Find one who fears the Lord. And again, that phrase, fears the Lord, is all throughout Scripture, and it simply means one who understands wisdom from God. As we're told elsewhere, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All of this chapter is a reminder about wisdom. Proverbs, as a whole book, is about wisdom. We began several weeks ago with our confirmands teaching them and reminding us all of that passage from Proverbs that we should train up children from an early age, and when they're older, they will not depart from that way. That we should then the next week trust in the Lord, not in our own understanding. All of this is about a life lived in wisdom. Well, since I already did one Hebrew word and you did really well with that, let me give you a second one. Last one, I promise. The Hebrew word for wisdom is chokhmah. Chokhmah. And what's amazing, now in English, our words don't have gender. But in Hebrew, like a lot of the other languages, there are male nouns and female nouns. And you have to learn how to decline the verbs based on the gender of the noun. It seems foreign to us English speakers, but words in other languages have gender assigned to them. And did you know that the Hebrew word for wisdom is a female word? I think God knows something there. This whole vision of the Proverbs 31 woman is a reminder that all of us need to lean into God's wisdom. And that there are examples in our lives of godly women who live this so well. Not perfectly. Lord knows none of us do anything perfectly. But they know where their true strength and power come from. The two really strong women in my life that taught me much about divine wisdom are my grandmother and my mother. And they were both excellent cooks, but they had one problem. Can I tell you that? Don't tell my mom I said this. They always cooked too much. We always had way too much food. But they did it on purpose, right? Because they never wanted anyone to go without. They always wanted enough in case some other person they didn't expect showed up. Or in case you were too hungry and just nothing but skin and bones, eat some more. Whether it was Sunday dinner at my grandmother's house or Thanksgiving dinner at mom's house, there was always more than enough food. I often think that that vision of my life growing up, seeing that abundance and that there was always an extra place for an unexpected guest, that helped me to understand a profound truth of the gospel. That in God, there is always enough grace, always enough forgiveness, always enough room at the table. And I often wonder if Jesus himself learned that truth from his own mother. You know, one of my favorite observations that have ever been pointed out to me is that in Jesus' first public miracle, the wedding of Cana, where he turns water into wine, he does so at the insistence of his mother, which lets us know this is probably a family wedding of some sort, at least enough for Mary to be worried that they're about to run out. Anyone out there had that fear you're about to run out? You're running back to the pantry to see what you can throw together? Mary's worried about it all. She wants to make sure that there's enough for everyone to celebrate, that there's room at the wedding feast for everyone. They're about to run out of wine, and she goes to Jesus and says, "You got to do something." Jesus, you know, first kind of dismisses his mother. Don't ever do that, right? The moms are right. Mary was right. And Jesus finally then commits his first public act in which he turns water into wine and the feast continues. And I wonder if he thought of his mother every time he did that again. Later in the gospel, feeding 3,000, then feeding 5,000, turning just scraps of bread into food enough for everyone who gathered. And then I wondered if he thought of his mom again on that last night in that upper room as he gathered with his disciples and he broke bread and shared wine and he said, "This is my body. This is my blood. It is enough for you and the whole world." I think Jesus saw in his own mother a courageous woman, a woman who knew the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The final little bit of Proverbs 31 actually turns from praising the woman to speaking directly to her as a way of saying, "You are blessed. Thank you." In a few moments, we'll come to this table to be reminded, like my grandmother and mother always taught, there's always room. Come and get a plate. And after you receive the grace, when you return to your pew, I invite you in the silence of your hearts to say a thank you prayer to God, not only for the food that we shared, but all the women in your life who've helped you to get to this place and taught you the true meaning of wisdom. Let's pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks for all the blessings of this life, and particularly this morning. Those women who have helped us to see you more clearly. We give you thanks for their wisdom and for their work. And may we live lives worthy of their courage. All this we ask in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.